What a great day. I don't think when Pastor Joshua assigned this to me today, he realized that this was the day after the 75th D-Day, anniversary of D-Day. So far be it for me to let that slide. My favorite D-Day story is in the mid-80s, there was a pitcher named Dwight Gooden who played for some of the New York teams, and he was complaining about the pressure of playing baseball in New York, and the fact he was making $90,000 a pitch, which today would be $321,000 a pitch, just to put it in perspective. Okay. Not a bad day. So I'm reading this newspaper article, and my uncle walks up behind me, and he looks at this, and he says, "Pressure? Making millions of dollars throwing a ball? When I was his age, I was about to hit the beaches of Normandy. That's pressure." I said, "You're right, Uncle Tom." Uncle Tom's in heaven. He passed away last year. But we know he's in heaven because my wife made a point to make sure that he said the sinner's prayer. And that means a lot to me. You know, great guy. Big, boisterous Italian. You know, loved him. Funny. Hilarious. And why that matters today is the title of this message is A Lifestyle of Prayer. And prayer is your weapon. It is your weapon. It is every weapon you need. It can do everything you need it to do. It is your weapon. And we're going to talk about using your weapon. Now, the United States is a very interesting country. We were founded by Christians. We're founded on Christian principles. We're founded on giving people their individual rights. We're the only country in the world that's ever been founded on such conditions. The only country that's ever been founded for God. We're the only country that has done as much good for the world, period. Make mistakes? Yes, we have. Perfect? No, we're not. But ever since Thomas Jefferson wouldn't pay ransom to the Barbary pirates over there in Tripoli and sent the Marines to take care of them, unlike England and France, paid because they were afraid of the pirates. We set a precedent. We go out and try to help where we can. Very important in World War II. We did not have to go to Europe. Japan attacked us. We could have simply put all of our forces against Japan. Let Europe fend for itself. What a travesty that would be. Where would the world be today if we had not stepped up to the plate and done our job to try to protect and help the world? And we did this, we believe, at least I believe, under godly guidance. And we look at things like D-Day, and you look at the fact that, yes, 4,413 men gave their lives so you could have the freedom to be here today. And that's a lot, but it's not what it could have been. If it wasn't for the praying people back here in the United States, it could have been 20, 30,000 or more. If the generals hadn't been too afraid to wake Hitler and tell him the attack was going on, he may have gotten up and done something. When they finally did wake him up, he was convinced it was a fake. It wasn't the real attack. He did not bring up his reserve guard, which would have probably had the opportunity to push us back into the sea. Why? Because people prayed. I can't prove that in any textbook. I can't prove that anywhere. But this is still the most praying country in the world. In spite of all the problems we see and all the challenges we see, it is still the country that believes in prayer and uses prayer. Now, I don't remember the name of the city, but there was one small town in the Midwest. When World War II started, the women got together and every day prayed the 91st Psalm over all the men. Now, the men were sent in different parts. They were sent to the Marines, they were sent to the Navy, they were sent to the Army. Some were sent to the Japanese, some were sent against the European theater, all over the world. Every one of them came back safe. Prayer works. Prayer helped us win the war. Now, go back to June 4th, 77 years ago, you had the Battle of Midway, which was the turning point in that part of the war. When you look at the challenges that we went at, the odds of going against it, and things that happened wrong in the Japanese command that allowed us to win that battle so decisively, could have been nothing but God. The one scout plane that would have found our carry group had a bad radio, couldn't radio back in. The Japanese got confused, were switching armaments when our planes caught them. And we're transferring from a bomb to a torpedo or vice versa. Your own weapons become against you. And that's what happened. As we hit the carrier decks, they destroyed themselves. Okay? Point being, I honestly believe the praying people of the United States helped every one of those people out there. Amen? So, as you go through this, realize that prayer is your weapon. Oh, by the way, one more comment. To prove that this country is still a praying nation, I don't care what your politics are. It doesn't matter for this comment. But President Trump was the only world leader that mentioned God when he spoke at the D-Day ceremonies yesterday. The only one. And he gave God credit for helping us. And I believe that's because the people in this country are praying people. And it sets a standard up that we still believe in God. And while the rest of the world is falling away and having their challenges, maybe, it's maybe somebody says, you know what? We need to turn back to God. Amen? Great. Okay. Section A, prayer comes after covenant. All things are possible to him who believes if you pray, fast, and are patient. Unfortunately, we live in a microwave fast food world today. Everybody wants it now. Instant gratification society. But I prayed twice. It didn't happen. Pray again. What do you mean? Go back and do your prayers. It may take more than a day. I'm not promising the magic wand of God. Now, hey, when it happens, great. Take it. Receive it. I've seen it. I've seen a boy walk into the healing rooms, was deaf, couldn't hear. Before he got prayed for, the anointing healed his ear. He goes, Mommy, I can hear the music. Okay? Great. We take that instant healing. Some people came back time and time and time again, and that's okay. It is what it is for you to get your faith there. So prayer comes after a covenant. We have a covenant with God. Abraham was 99 years old. In Genesis 17, 1 to 3 and 10, says, I am God Almighty, will make you a father of many nations. So Genesis 17, 1 to 3, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me, be blameless. Now, be blameless. Let's talk about that for a second. How often do we tell you to confess your sins? As often as possible. Keep yourself blameless. Keep yourself cleansed. Keep that sin off of you. Don't give Satan that hook into you where you've made a mistake. It says, aha, okay. Once you confess your sins, receive your forgiveness, and don't think about it again, that you've done it. Don't do it again, but don't think about the past sin. It's done. It's gone. Okay? Be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. I like when God talks to me. I like when I go in my conference room and close the door and spend a few minutes praying and just hearing God. We all need to stretch for that. Okay? Genesis 17:10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you will be circumcised. What a deal. But God made a covenant. In the natural, Abraham couldn't do it. But it doesn't matter. Because God made a covenant. What covenant is God making with you that you're doubting on because of your own personal limitations? I want you to think about that for a minute. Everybody here has a reason or you wouldn't be here. God has something for you to do, a covenant, and many people are backing off because they think, quote, in their own minds, I can't do that. With God, all things are possible. Okay? Go back and revisit what that is that God wants you to do. Then spend your time praying, asking God, how? What do you want me to do? He won't steer you wrong. You may find yourself changing directions multiple times because you're not going to hear God as quickly, as perfectly as all of us should. But as you do that, you'll fine-tune and get better and better every time. Amen? Okay. Number two, God answered Abraham's prayer. Genesis 18, 17 to 19, 23, 24, and 32. Abraham attempts to save Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find 10 righteous men in the cities, the city would not be destroyed. So Genesis 18, 17 to 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed for him in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, do righteousness and justice, and that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him. Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's starting to talk to God. We need to be able to talk to God just that much. He wasn't spirit-filled. He talked to God. We are spirit-filled. We can talk to God. Okay? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare for the 50 righteous that were in it? Then he said, let the Lord not be angry. I will speak once more. Suppose there are 10 should be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So he's negotiating with God down to 10 people. If I can find 10 people, will you not destroy the city? That's talking to God. And had he found 10 people, God would have honored that. He still negotiated properly. He still got what he could do with God. The problem was, there weren't 10 righteous people in the city. And the city was destroyed. We all know the story, okay? But the point is that God would have kept his word. Just as he kept his word with Abraham about being the father of many nations. Right. Number three, the new covenant. New covenant in Christ's blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Number four, your covenant. We have a blood covenant with God. The caveat is we must do our part. Too many people just want the rewards. They don't want to do their part. They want the magic wand of God, which you hear me call quite often. We used to see that in the healing rooms. Just pray for me. I'll be better. I'll go about and live my decadent lifestyle. One person came up to me and says, just cast the demons out of me. I says, no. He goes, why not? You can do it. Yes, I can. Well, just do it. No. Why? Because you won't keep them out. And then you'll have that one plus seven more for each one we cast out. You'll be in worse shape than if I cast them out, didn't cast them out. Now, if you want to come here and let us work with you for a period of time, and then make sure that you're ready to do the due diligence you need to keep them out, then I'll be happy to do that with you. But he didn't want that commitment. He just wanted to get rid of them. Now, that's why when we do our cleansing here at ABC, we're very diligent about what we're doing. We set you up properly. We have the mentoring beforehand and let you know. And as soon as you have a problem coming back on attacking you, to CRRB and get rid of it so it doesn't come back and reattack you. We don't give the devil a chance to come back in if you do your part properly. We don't want more demons than we had before. Okay? James 4:8, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through a baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Revelation 3:20. Before I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come to him, dine with him, and he with me. I want Jesus at my dinner table. I want to dine with the person, the God, that gave it all up for me. And I want to know him. And the way you do that is by spending your time in prayer. If you're not prepared to receive him, he's not going to come knock on your door. Okay? If you're going to meet somebody famous, you would prepare. You'd get dressed up nice, make sure everything was good at your house, you'd be prepared. Back when you used to date, didn't you prepare a little better for the date? Made yourself look a little nicer, dress a little nicer, so forth. You prepared. Well, we're preparing for our God. Okay? Now, there's an ABC affiliate out of New York City. Her name is Sonia. She started working the Twin Towers since it opened. And she had a prayer room. You ever seen the movie War Room? Okay, same thing. She had a prayer room, and she went and she used it. And she knew her Lord. She started there approximately close to when the tower opened. And the first day she missed was in 1993, when they had placed the bomb underneath in the truck to blow up the Twin Towers. The Lord told her not to go in that day. She was safe. Why? Because she knew her God's voice. And it didn't matter what her boss said, when God said, do not go in today, she didn't go in. Okay? I don't care what's happening in your life, who else is putting pressure on you to do something, when God says do something, he's your supreme commander. Okay? All right. She was assigned to work on the 50th floor, and after the first plane crashed into the Twin Towers, a man asked her son, doesn't your mom work in the Twin Towers? Planes are crashing into it right now. Son said, if planes are crashing into the Twin Towers, I guarantee you my mother will not be there. God told her not to go in that day either. But what's cool about this is her son knew his mom so well and knew that he didn't have to worry about it. He didn't fret and get on the phone and try to call the office. Mom's not there. 1 year before the crash, as she was praying, she looked up and saw a shroud of evil over the towers, and God told her to start a Bible study on the 55th floor. She did that for a year before the planes hit. She was asked to switch to the night shift. She prayed to God, and God says, don't wait to get off the day shift. Get right away. By asking for time off to not start the night shift, that's how come she was able to miss the day when the planes hit. When the planes hit the tower, she was not on the day shift. One of the people in her Bible study was an extremely overweight woman. But this woman had been diligent to her Bible study. The woman had given her life to the Lord, and when the first plane crashed, she headed down the stairs, as all of them did. And that was a nice, orderly transition out. And in fact, one of the guys I work with, he was supposed to be at the Twin Towers that day, but he got delayed and didn't go there, and was supposed to go the next 2 weeks. Of course, they weren't there. But the people he knew that were there said it was a very orderly exit. But the point is that she headed downstairs because of her weight challenge. She couldn't do it. She simply couldn't do it, and she was about to give up, which would have cost her life, when two men grabbed her and carried her down the stairs the rest of the way. When they got outside, she went to turn to them. They weren't there. Because she prayed to her God, and her God protected her. This is how strong our prayer life should be. This is where we need to be in prayer. That we are that safe. That when the enemy attacks, it doesn't matter. We're ready for him. Somehow, some way, God will either have us not be there, or if we are, He'll protect us when we are there. Amen? Okay. Amen. B, awake to prayer. Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest. Isaiah 52:1-2, awake, put on thy strength. You know, when you look at the military, when do they wake you guys up? Oh, dark 30? Is that what they call it? Yeah. They get you up at all hours. They get you up ready. They get you trained. So no matter what happens, you're quick and ready to respond because they don't know when the enemy is going to attack. Okay? But that's part of our training, to be awake and to be ready. When we're ready, we got to be vigilant. I know I have a challenge myself, but when I tend to be tired, I tend to let my guard down a little bit, and my wife's been wonderfully working for me on it. Doesn't matter. I got to keep my guard up. I can't let that down. Okay. So Ephesians 5:14, therefore it says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. If you're tired, Christ will give you the light that you need. He'll give you what you need. Isaiah 52:1-2, awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, holy city. For uncircumcised, the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. When you awake to prayer and start your day with prayer, the devil is afraid of you. In fact, the devil says, oh no, they're up. And he doesn't have a chance to get to you because you start your day with prayer. You put your protection up around you. The first thing I do when I wake up is I pray my protection prayers. I want that protection around my family the second I wake up. Okay? Not even out of bed yet. Now, we all know Pastor Joshua has a prayerful life. And back in the day, he was told to go in a very dangerous spot in Jamaica. And he obeyed the Lord. And when he got there, two men were going to kill him with ice picks. Now, for those of you who are too young to know what an ice pick is, it's a handle with about a 7.5-inch point on top of it. And they're very, very deadly. In fact, there was a person in the mob back in the 30s. He was the ice pick killer. That was his method of doing it. You know. And they grabbed him, put the two ice picks up to him, and all he said to them was, Jesus loves you. He had to say it several times. But because of Jesus loves you, they ran away from him. The demons in him couldn't stand the anointing in Pastor Joshua, and they ran away from him. Are you that well trained in your prayer life that if something happens, you could respond like that? Jesus loves you? There couldn't be any fear in his voice. He didn't tell me this. This is my conjecture now. There could not be an ounce of fear in his voice. Because if there was, in my opinion, the demons wouldn't have respected that. He had to say that with such confidence, even if it was soft. Jesus loves you. I don't know, I wasn't there. But there could not be an ounce of fear to give those demons an edge in. And they ran from him. And that's where our prayer life needs to be. No matter what happens, it doesn't matter. Not afraid. I know my God will show me through it. In Jesus' name. There's never a place in the Bible where it says you will not have challenges. All it ever says is, He'll be there with us. He'll see us through. Okay? C, start your day with prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When you start your day with prayer, as I said before, the devil says, oh no, you're awake. He doesn't like that. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 23:4, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. In Psalms 91:10, no evil shall befall me. No evil shall befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. I need to interject something here. I'm a very blessed man. I have a career that I love. And because of how much work I do with my driving time time in the office, meeting clients, researching. I put in about 70 hours a week. So the way I do these messages for you is on my breaks, I take a few minutes and I put down my ideas. And sometimes they're on like different pieces of paper and so forth. And then I give them to my beautiful wife, who then puts them to an organized pattern so I can present them to you. So I want to thank you, Karen, for all you do for me for these, because I couldn't do it without you. But she's also a prayer warrior, if you've never heard the stories before. She was a missionary in Guatemala, going down there just because God told her, went down there with nothing, okay? And there was a war going on in El Salvador. Pastor Ora Karen had to exit the country by law to renew her visa. She went with another missionary. He was from South America who had to exit to renew his visa also. Additionally, his girlfriend came and Karen's sister. Because Karen was going there, the president of Guatemala asked her to minister to a pastor's meeting to help get them baptized in the Holy Spirit and learn to pray in tongues and move in the gifts of the Spirit. The other missionary and the girlfriend had to stay because their paperwork had challenges. Pastor Karen and her sister got to a checkpoint where all the guards were enemy guerrillas. Now, the guerrillas were very well armed. They were supplied by the Russians. Okay. They put up a roadblock. Now, their pattern was, if they didn't kill the person and they were good-looking females, they would rape them or sell them into sexual slavery. Okay? Not a good place to be. Okay. But because they were praying Psalms 91 every morning, and Psalms 103:20, God's angels hearkened unto the voice of God's word, even spoken through our mouths, she drove through the barriers because none of the 25 guerrilla terrorists were there anymore. So these barriers were set up in such a way that her car could barely fit through them. Had to turn off the radio, the praise and worship music, had to be very quiet if we didn't want them to hear her, as she had to go through this barricade to get through. And as she drove past, they looked at the rear view mirror and they saw the guys coming out of the woods, all 25 or so of them, zipping up their zippers. So God had them all go. Now, how did 25 guys go to the bathroom at the same time? Okay, come on. I know women all, okay, we got to go together, you know, guys, they don't do that kind of thing, right? Okay. That was God getting them out of the way so Karen and her sister could get through. Okay? None of them heard the car. It's as if they were invisible. And that's a protection of the Lord. You have that same protection. You really do. Okay? Pray lest you be tempted. Satan attempts to weaken you. Now, there's all kinds of temptations here in the United States especially, okay? I mean, there are some commercials that come on TV, I have to close my eyes. Now, fortunately, we record things and Karen fast-forwards through them, but there are things on TV that I don't need to be seeing. Fair enough? Okay. I go back to the movie The Godfather. The Godfather for me was when things really, really changed in this country. Before that, the good guys won and the bad guys were bad. Okay? And The Godfather kind of changed around, the mentality changed around and so forth. And that's evolved to where, now we just had a show called Game of Thrones that ended. And I've never seen the show, but I had to hear it because next to somebody who was watching one time. There are all kinds of homosexual innuendos in there. And there was nudity there, and there was all kinds of things about that that tells you how decadent it had become. And this was probably the biggest show of the last several years. I mean, they figured that on the last night of the show, 10% of the workforce wouldn't show up to work on time the next day because we would be watching the last episode of that show. And that's where the country goes to. My point is this here, okay? All those people who watched that show allowed that evil into them. Now, there's some Christians who may have thought it was okay. I'm telling you, you need to pray about that. I don't mean to offend you in any way, shape, or form, but when you see something that promotes evil, it can't be good for you to see. And you need to take care of that spiritually. If you've got any questions about that, call the church here, somebody will talk to you. but it's wrong. And if I offend anybody, I'm sorry, but that's the bottom line, that we have to be careful for what our eyes see to allow into us. And see, there are all kinds of ploys to allow things into us, and this is one of them, okay? Even the movie Smokey and the Bandit from many, many years ago. It was a fun movie. Guy in a nice hot car, driving fast, those are. I remember seeing people in the parking lot afterwards how crazy they were driving. So I will tell you that in my opinion, people are affected by what they see. All right. Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Lead me in the paths of righteousness, Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now this includes an alcoholic walking by the liquor aisle in the grocery store. This includes any challenges you have. If you know you've got a challenge, you need to avoid it. Be careful. Satan is devious. He's very good at his part of the game. He's sneaky, he's underhanded, and he's a cheater, and he doesn't care. The important thing is he hates you, and he wants to bring you down. Your job is not to give him the open door. Amen? Okay. Luke 22:40-46. When he came into the place, he said, then pray that you may not enter into temptation. Then he said, then why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Okay. Pray, lest your faith fails. Luke 22:31-32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus is praying for you right now. Jesus is praying for you right now that you'll be strong to resist that temptation. Again, no one say the temptation is not going to come, but you'll be strong enough to resist. Pray that you may be counted worthy. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Again, worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. They're going to come at you. I'm putting this in there for a reason. The Lord is impressing upon me right now that there are attacks on us now, coming against us in the future, and we're not ready. We weren't ready at Pearl Harbor. Look what happened. We got decimated. We cannot not be ready when this attack comes against us here. We must be ready for this. Okay. Now, there was an evangelist, Dwayne Allen. And he was praying in preparation on a plane to minister at a church, and God told him to call out a lady named Carmelita and give her a message from God, I know your name. He didn't know why he was supposed to do that. That's just what he did. So, in the process of the service, the Lord said, do it now. And he says, I have a word for Carmelita. Carmelita, the Lord says, tell you that he does know your name, or he knows your name. And there was a lot of stunning and chattering and so forth. Okay. But what had happened was, Carmelita had gotten saved, but she didn't stay away from her temptation, and she fell back into drugs. And the people at the church had went to her and tried to bring her back to God, and tried to do something. Finally, they convinced her to come back to church one more time. And she says, I will go, but God probably doesn't even know my name. But God had already set the minister up to say that before she said, God doesn't even know my name. She did rededicate herself to the Lord because God knew her name. Point being, though, she didn't pray to keep herself from falling into temptation. Temptations are coming from each and every one of us. He knows where we're challenged. Our job is to keep praying that when it comes, we're able to help. Because where we are weak, God is strong. Amen? Okay. E. Pray that you may receive. James 4:2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war and you do not have because you do not ask. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your joy be made full. John 15:7. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You ask what you desire, and shall be done for you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I don't mean to get down on people tonight. I don't mean to put out a challenge and to get you concerned or anything. I mean to say, let's step up a prayer life. Let's live a joyful life. Let the joy of the Lord come into us so we're ready when things happen. Okay? When people are happy and joyful, it's really tough to knock them down. They tend to take on challenges much easier. Let the joy of the Lord come into us. Allow that to flow. Allow that to flow through you constantly. And when a challenge comes, say, hey, praise the Lord, I get a chance for another testimony. Okay? Ask, believe, behave, announce, Abba. Now that's not the singing group. Okay. Ask what you want, believe you received it, behave as though you've received it, and after you've received it, give your testimony, announce it. Okay? When you're saying, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, you're saying, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, you're confessing that over yourself. When the manifestation comes, tell everybody about your healing. Okay? Don't do it beforehand. They'll point, well, you're still got that challenge there. No. After the manifestation comes, then you announce your healing to everybody. Okay? Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Revelation 12:11. And they that overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to death. This is one of my verses, Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, be able to stand in the evil day, having an all to do, stand. Very often the challenges come and I've done everything I can do, all I need to do is stand there. Patiently, going back to that first time, patiently waiting. I've done it all. I know it's going to happen. I cannot be anxious or nervous because it hasn't happened yet. I stand. In God's time. Okay. Number 6, hold fast to the confession of your faith. Hebrews 10:23, let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. I believe with all my heart that our Lord will do everything he says in his Bible. Everything in his word is a covenant with us as long as we do our part. I believe every bit of it. It's a sovereign word of God. He's not a liar. He will do it and he will perform it. He will protect you from everything coming, even when you don't know it's coming. I pray the protection prayer over me every day. Psalms 91:23. Including no harm, accident, or evil will befall me, my family, home, work, business, vehicles, wherever we go. One day I'm driving to work. 65 miles an hour on the freeway. I'm not breaking the speed limit. And I'm driving to work. doing fine, my lane is clear, I'm just driving along. All of a sudden, something grabs my wheel and turns it. And I went into the other lane, which was clear, no problem. Okay. As I looked over my left rearview mirror to see what was happening, a car, and I was doing 65, he must have been better than 90. I would estimate better than 100, but I can't say that for sure, but certainly better than 90. Flew by me and didn't miss me, but by a half an inch. I had no scratch on my car, nothing. Went back to the road, just thank God. My point being, because I didn't know that was going to happen. I just was driving along. But the protection prayer got my angels to move forward to protect me and make sure that I wasn't hurt. I knew exactly how much to move the car so I wouldn't be hurt. Angels and God both protected me. I believe that God said it, and that settles it. Okay? Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us. We cover everybody here viewing this now, and those going to see it in the future, and those that are here in this church. Okay? We thank you that you have a covenant with us and that you're answering all of our prayers. And we thank you that everybody awakes to prayer and gives you the first part of their day, Lord. We can start our day with prayer. And as we pray, you keep us from temptation and the challenges of the world. We pray that we receive all the protections, all the desires of our hearts for ourselves and our family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.